We're reminded in Scripture of the Church of Jesus Christ, the great purpose of that church to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel of Christ to every creature. That is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose that we are to engage in, the sounding forth of the gospel of Christ to the world. And that is a purpose that we must never forget. And as we come to a new year, it is a purpose that should motivate us. It is a purpose that should be before us, one that we do not set aside like a New Year's resolution.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we continue in our consideration of Behold the Lamb of God. Going to our pulpit at Cloverdale, and we trust that this message would indeed be a blessing to your soul.
There's a duty then to behold Him. Dear believer, throughout your life, you are to continually behold the Savior, to keep your eye upon Him, to live for Him, to serve Him. Unbeliever, you are to consider this as well, because He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And if you perceive or behold anyone else or something else for salvation, there is no salvation. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Look upon the only Lamb who can redeem, who can save." And if we desire to live for Christ, if we desire to serve Christ, if we desire to go forth into this world in this year with that cry upon our hearts, "Behold the Lamb of God," we must have perceived it. We must have looked upon Christ ourselves. We must have trusted Him as our Savior. And that is our duty, to go into the world as those who have perceived Christ and point others to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. This is a glorious title of Christ. We can think of Genesis 22. Abraham went up to the mount to sacrifice his son Isaac. And as he lifted that knife to kill his son, in the command of God, as he lifted that knife, he was stopped. And there was an angel, or there was a lamb caught there in the bushes. A lamb that took the place of Isaac. A lamb that was slain, a lamb that pointed to Calvary, the Lamb of God who would take the place of His people, the Lamb of God who would suffer and die for you. And dear believer, as we think upon the glorious gospel of Christ, how marvelous it is that we do not have to pay that eternal penalty for our sin, but Christ, the Lamb of God, took our sin upon Himself. Let us be filled with joy this year. As we come to the table of the Lord tonight, let us rejoice that there is a Lamb who taketh away our sin. A Lamb upon whom we depend. And a Lamb that we should desire to tell others about. We must perceive Him. But we must believe secondly. We must believe that Christ is the sacrifice for sin. Building upon that thought of the Lamb, the true message of the gospel, The true message that John is setting forth here is that of Christ being the Savior. And that is the message that must resonate within our hearts, that Christ is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And how did Christ do that? He went to the cross. He suffered there. He bore our punishment. Thinking of Isaiah 53, that lamb that was led to the slaughter, that lamb that died and bore the sins of his people. A lamb who died for the sins of the world, the emphasis here being that salvation was not just for the Jew. It was for the world. It was for the Gentile. Christ came to redeem those from every nation, those from every tongue. And through his death upon Calvary, he took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. And this is the message that we are to preach. We are to believe it. We are to believe it. Today, do you believe that Christ is the sacrifice for your sins? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that faith? As we go into this year, a year with unknowns, a year with unknowns. Oh, how we could sit and talk and think about last year. We can think about the sorrows and the griefs and those who passed away, those who passed away unexpectedly. We can think of the news headlines and those that suddenly lost their lives. Even in recent days, we've seen that constantly in the news. Death, death, death. Life, yes, it is unknown. But what is known is there is death, death, death. What is unknown is if it will be us, if it will be you, if it will be me. We do not know what a day brings forth. And as we think of this year that lies ahead, we do not know what lies before. We do not know. It very well could be the case that there will be those here today, and as we come together next year, they won't be here. Death will have come. Maybe there's circumstances that prevent their coming to the house of God. Great sickness and illness. We do not know. And as we think upon that, we are reminded of the importance of the sacrifice of Christ. Knowing our sins forgiven. Resting in Christ. Depending upon Christ. Seeing the importance of while this world is uncertain, there is certainty with the Savior. There is certainty in this message. Behold the Lamb of God. Dear believer, are you clinging assuredly to that message? Do you know with that real assurance that Christ, the Lamb of God, is your Savior? He is your Redeemer. What comfort that brings. What comfort that brings. John speaks of the Savior as the one, the Lamb that would be sacrificed. The lamb that was so significant in the Old Testament, that great sacrifice to bear away our sin. What is our great problem in life? What is the great problem of humanity? It is sin. And as the years go by, we sin more and more and more. But we're to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. We can rest in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Behold, the Lamb of God. Sin is dragging this world down to hell, but there is a glorious message that there is a sacrifice for sin. There is a sacrifice by which our sins can be forgiven if we but repent and believe the gospel. What a message John has here. It's a message that is to be believed. Do you believe it today? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you rejoicing in the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world? Can you say with certainty that Christ is the one who died for you and took your place? And as we think upon the Lamb of God whose blood was shed, who finished the work of redemption, that you have a peace and you have an assurance. How important it is to know and to be sure. We know not what a day may bring forth. When we think of that, that doesn't apply to those who were older in years only. There is that saying, often repeated, the old must die, but the young do die. And again, we go back to the news, death, death, death. It's not just those who are old. It's not just those who can't lift their arms anymore, who can't lift their legs or their head. It is those who are young. And again, we do not know what is in the future. Regardless of your age, what about you and Christ? As the years have passed by, maybe there has been no faith, no salvation, no redemption. This year, oh, may God work within your heart that you would see Christ, you would perceive Him, you would believe Him as your Savior. You would live for Him. Your life would be changed. Not only would there be a new year, but you would be a new creature in Christ. Thirdly, I want you to see that we must declare Christ as the all-sufficient Savior. We must declare Christ as the all-sufficient Savior. The great crux of John's message is that there is a Savior, and that He has come, that He is the Lamb of God, that He taketh away the sin of the world, which maybe taketh, which might take, no, which taketh away. There's a sufficiency here. And if we were to move outside John chapter 1 and go to the end of that gospel and move into the epistles or take the Bible as a whole, we see that Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. What does that mean? He is able to save, and He will save. And those who trust upon Him for salvation, there's no need to doubt or to fear or to wonder about whether you are saved or not. If you believe and rest upon the promise of God and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is able to save. He saves completely. He saves to the uttermost. And how marvelous that is. Dear believer, do you rejoice that you can rest upon Christ? That you know that whatever happens in life, there is a Savior who will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lamb of God who took away your sin. Oh, how great it is to face an unknown year knowing that all is well because we have an all-sufficient Savior. We could think of driving across the mountains. I drove across the Rockies twice since I was here last, to Calgary and then back again. And of course, going on that journey, you think, what are the roads like? What about the snow? What about dangerous road conditions? And you were concerned. But then you have your winter tires. You have at least a half-decent vehicle. And you know that even if there's a little snow, it should be okay. If there's a lot of snow, that will cause problems. But if there's a little bit, if the roads are clear, even if there's snow on the road, taking care, it should be okay. You can rest a little bit in the equipment that you have. The tires on your car, the ability of your vehicle. But imagine taking a car with no winter tires. We were coming up the road from Kamloops yesterday, and there were 7, 8 vehicles, some very, very recent. There was one incident, and the emergency crews were there, and these cars had left the road. I don't know what tires they had, but the vehicle and the driver combined, and the road conditions combined with that as well, meant that there was no sufficiency in the vehicle. It left the road. And if we were going to go on a journey, we wouldn't take an old car that had a tendency to maybe not start in cold conditions. We would not take a vehicle with out winter tires. We would not take a vehicle whose tires were, well, ready to completely wear out. No grip whatsoever. We would not go without warm clothes. We would make sure that we had everything that we needed. That the vehicle would be sufficient as best as we can make it. We not dream of going on that journey with an insufficient vehicle. Or even an insufficient driver. We would make sure that all those things that we have some control over, we would make sure that we tick those boxes. But when we think of the year that lies ahead, this journey before us, how many here have made insufficient preparation? We know not what comes on the morrow. We don't know what the next stretch of road will be like. We don't know the danger on that road. We don't know the sin, the temptation. We don't know whether or not we will make it to the end of this journey. And the problem is, there is insufficient preparation. There is no Christ. There is no Savior. There is no Lamb of God. There is no salvation. Maybe, believer, while you trust in Christ, there has been a move away from the Word of God and from prayer and from the house of God. All of these things are being set aside so that even your preparation for the great trials of this year is insufficient. Oh, you would say, Pastor, if you went across those mountains in a little tiny car with bald tires, you're a fool. And rightly so. But to go into this year with all its uncertainties without a sufficient Savior, it makes you a fool. Maybe you've said, like Psalm 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God is rejected. Fool. Fool. Oh, that you would perceive the Lamb of God. You would believe Him. You would trust Him. And this is the Lamb of God who is the great sufficient Savior who is to be declared. To be declared. There's three things about this declaration. Our time is gone, but notice that as we declare this great message, it is to be an uncompromising declaration. We're not to compromise the gospel. This world will say there is change. This world will say there needs to be an upgrading. This world will say that the gospel needs to be adapted to this day and generation. But the gospel, the gospel of Christ is the same. It applies to every generation. There is no direction in Scripture for us to update the doctrines of the gospel of Christ. And John's gospel here, John's declaration of Christ, is a declaration of sin. He's saying the world has sinned. He is saying that you and I have sinned. Christ came to take away that sin. But there are those who will compromise today and they will stop short of emphasizing sin. I've had People in denominations tell me that the gospel of Christ is opposed in their denomination. Maybe not 100%, but there are pockets, there are groups, there are churches where the gospel of Christ is not welcome. Rest assured that if we went and preached about the importance of dealing with sin, there'd be those who would be very angry. But yet there are many who associate with such denominations. And their gospel presentations, they're void of the seriousness of sin. They stop short of a biblical definition of sin. They hide sin. They hide sin. John declares it. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, he does not compromise. He does not care about your feelings. Oh, I'm hurt because he said I'm a sinner. God's word says all have sinned. We're not to compromise on that message, but the acceptance of churches or organizations or preachers that do not preach the full counsel of God, that do not preach the full gospel, that do not deal fully with sin, that do not express sin in biblical terms, that hide sin. Accepting such is against the word of God. It is a hiding of the gospel. We're not to hide our gospel. We're not to hide it under a bushel. We are to let that gospel shine without compromise. There's to be an unashamed declaration of this great truth. The glorious life-changing gospel is to be declared unashamedly. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? The power of God unto salvation. Paul had hardships. He didn't compromise. He was mocked. He didn't compromise. And what an example that is to you and I. As this year we cry out, behold the Lamb of God. We're not to be ashamed of that message. We're not to worry about what others think. It is the truth of God. We believe it to be so, and we declare it. I'm not ashamed to, oh my Lord, the hymn writer said. And finally, there is an undistracted declaration. We are to be undistracted by the world or other things. Why? Christ is to be central. He's the central theme of that message. Everything that takes away from the centrality of Christ is a distraction. Oh, how Satan desires us to be distracted. Let's not be distracted by frivolous matters. Let us not let serious matters divide us. Let us be strongly united on the message of the gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God. We're not to be distracted from the work of crying out, behold, the Lamb of God. And so let us work together to that end. Let us desire that there would be those here who know not the Savior, that they would turn from sin and behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that, dear believer, that would be your message. How do you witness? How do you go out into the world to speak to others about Christ? Tell them to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. May the Lord bless His word this morning for His name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer. It is interesting to remark how large a portion of sacred writ is occupied with the subject of prayer, either in furnishing examples, enforcing precepts, or pronouncing promises. We scarcely open the Bible before we read, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And just as we are about to close the volume, the amen of an earnest supplication meets our ears. Instances are plentiful. Here we find a wrestling Jacob, there a Daniel who prayed three times a day, and a David who with all his heart called upon his God. On the mountain we see Elias. In the dungeon, Paul and Silas. We have multitudes of commands and myriads of promises. What does this teach us but the sacred importance and necessity of prayer? We may be certain that whatever God has made prominent in His Word, He intended to be conspicuous in our lives. If he has said much about prayer, it is because he knows we have much need of it. So deep are our necessities that until we are in heaven we must not cease to pray. Dost thou want nothing? Then I fear thou dost not know thy poverty. Hast thou no mercy to ask of God? Then may the Lord's mercy show thee thy misery. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. Prayer is the lisping of the believing infant, the shout of the fighting believer, the requiem of the dying saint falling asleep in Jesus. It is the breath, the watchword, the comfort, the strength, the honour of a Christian. If thou be a child of God, thou wilt seek thy Father's face and live in thy Father's love. Pray that this year thou mayest be holy, humble, zealous and patient, have closer communion with Christ, and enter oftener into the banqueting house of his love. Pray that thou mayest be an example and a blessing unto others, and that thou mayest live more to the glory of thy Master. The motto for this year must be, continue in prayer. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I am Andrew Fitton, wishing you a very happy and prosperous new year. Listen to the instruction of Spurgeon. Continue in prayer. We often have our New Year's resolutions. It may be a personal goal. Maybe you have a goal in exercise, or a goal maybe in losing weight, or a goal in avoiding certain foods. Maybe there's something that you want to attain to this year in life that you've struggled to attain to in the past. And we make our resolutions, but often by the time today comes, the 2nd of January, those resolutions can often be set aside. But dear believer, don't set this resolution aside. Desire to continue in prayer every day this year, not forsaking the throne of grace and the blessed and abundant presence of your Saviour. Continue in prayer. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.